Good morning, and peace be with you. I get to do the announcements today, and I'm going to start it. It's going to be more of a, I got to come clean to you guys, a little confession. Many of you may know, or many of you don't know, but when I went to college, I got a degree that prepped people to be California teachers. And prior to that, I never had a music lesson in my entire life. I don't know anything about music. I know if it's up here, the little note, you know, it's higher, and if it's down here, it's lower, and that kind of stuff. My point being, the last time that I had a class in music actually in college at the California State University of Chico, which is also at one point in time the number one party school in America, I had a class and my music that I had to learn was a recorder, and not the kind you push a button and play, but it was a plastic flute. And so I entertained lots of people with Clodelaire and Clodelune and a whole bunch of other things. And then I could also play a mean rendition of the theme from Kung Fu. You guys remember that one? So that's it. So why am I telling you this? Well, I pick out, you know, music. And so I thought, well, I'll do this for Diane and send it to her. And so I sent her some stuff. And if you look at your bulletin, and so the last hymn is going to be Savior Like a Shepherd Lead Us on page 481. And I'm like, oh, that's a nice song. Savior like a shepherd lead us, da 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 da, right? Precious Jesus, right? Well, that's not what that song does. No, I didn't know that. It's got those little things that go up and down and all that, and I'm looking through it. And so, bless your heart, Diane, thank you for pointing that out, because that's not what I would have expected, you know, what the reality of it all. So, the announcement today, and I'm going to stop at that, is we will sing on page 479, the next page over, My Faith Looks Up to Thee. Okay? So, that's why your pastor doesn't know anything about tunes or melodies or any of that stuff. So thank you for loving me anyway and giving me grace. And then as far as the announcements are concerned, we have my favorite part of this. We have a birthday on the 23rd for Miss Jan Tubiola. So happy birthday to you. How about we sing that? Ready? On three, one and a two and a three. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Jan. Happy birthday to you. You're welcome, you're welcome. And then Tim is going to be 39 on April the 26th. And then we have some anniversaries. Actually, the next one that's coming up, we had Carol, Ken and Carol were April the 8th. And then we have Ken and Gail Yabuki on April the 28th. So, yay! I see Adeline clapping. Golf clap right there. Good girl. And that's the news that's fit to tell. Our opening hymn is Christ is Risen Today. I think I got that one right. It is on page 151. Let us sing as unto the Lord. you please stand if you're able? We come together this morning in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open and all desires are known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us confess our sins to God our Father, most merciful God. We confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake, he forgives you all of your sins. And as your called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all of your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Almighty God, merciful Father, since you have wakened from death the shepherd of your sheep, grant us, your Holy Spirit, that when we hear the voice of our shepherd, that we may know him who calls us each by name and follow where he leads. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
Good morning. Good morning. Our first lesson today is from the book of Acts, chapter 4, verses 1 through 12. This can be found on page underneath the sticky note, 1696 in your Bible. Acts 4, verses 1 through 12. The priests and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people, proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, they put them in jail until the next day. But many who heard the message believed, so the number of men who believed grew to about 5,000. The next day, the rulers and elders and the teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Annas, the high priest, was there, and so was Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and others of the high priest's family. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them. By what power or what name did you do this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame and are being asked about how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved." We will read Psalm 23 responsively, and it is printed in your bulletin on page 6. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing.
He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters.
He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake.
Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me.
You prepare a table before me. In the presence of my enemies, you anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows.
Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
The next reading is taken from the book of John, first book of John, chapter 3, verses 16 through 24. This can be found on page 1901 in the Pew Bible. 1 John 3, verses 16 through 24. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and truth. This is how we know that we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence. If our hearts condemn us, we know that God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from him anything we ask, because we keep his commands and do what pleases him. And this is his command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. The one who keeps God's commands lives in him, and he in them. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us. Here ends the reading. This is the word of the Lord.
Left my sermon down here, pardon me. The Holy Gospel, according to Saint John from the 10th chapter, glory to you, O Lord. Our Gospel this morning does indeed come from Saint John, the 10th chapter, verses 11 through 18, and can be found on page 1666 in your pew Bible. John records, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and he runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and he cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father." This is the gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Will you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In the name of Jesus. So when Jesus uses word pictures like parables or metaphors or other figures of speech, he often represents God as someone who is eccentric, that is to say, departing from normal, someone that does strange things. For example, in the parable of the sower, The sower throws seed everywhere, not just on the good soil. In the parable of the unforgiving servant, the king forgives a debt of 10,000 talents, which is an unimaginable amount of money. In the parable of the vineyard, the owner pays everyone the same wage, regardless of when or how long they worked. In the parable of the wicked tenants, the landowner, that is God, sent his own son to collect the rent from the tenants who had already killed his servants. And these are just a few of the eccentric characters who represent God in Jesus' parables. Today, we heard Jesus describe himself as the Good Shepherd. We are so very used to hearing about Jesus as the Good Shepherd that we don't really or truly examine the Good Shepherd, Jesus, that one that he said about himself or that he talked about to us. When we listen more closely, we discover that the Good Shepherd Jesus is a very eccentric, a very strange, a very departing from normal shepherd. Now, Greek has more than one word that translates as good in English. One word is agathos. Agathos. It means competent or professional, skilled, and so forth. The other word is kalos, kagathos. This word means gentlemanly, gentlemanly. It means noble. It means heroic. It means excellent, and so forth. So when Jesus refers to himself as the Good Shepherd, he means that he is the excellent, the noble, the heroic shepherd. He is not merely competent or professional or skilled. And this kind of shepherd would seem very strange, very eccentric to the average shepherd in first century Israel. Okay, so let me explain this, that the shepherds in the first century Israel were not raising flocks full of beloved pets. They exploited the sheep. They used the sheep primarily for wool, for mutton, and sacrifices. Let me just ask real quick, does anybody here grown up on a ranch or a farm? Okay. I mean, were the sheep pets? Were the animals pets? Certainly a farmer, a rancher, loves the animals, but not in the way that Jesus is describing. The reason that these shepherds watched over the sheep was not because they loved the sheep, but because the sheep were the source of their income. That they had families that needed food and clothing and shelter. The sheep were the source of those things. When a predator began to stalk the flock, the shepherd was not really concerned for the sheep directly. He was concerned because the predator was taking food off his table, off his children's table, and clothes off their backs. The predator was affecting his income, which was affecting his family's standard of living or their ability to survive. Now, there's exceptions. My grandpa, my cousins now are all farmer ranchers, and they love their animals. I know that they've spent the night with a mother calf or mother cow calving or horses and all that. They love their animals, but different, okay? When a shepherd was good or competent, his sheep were healthy, so that they produce plenty of wool, or so that they gain plenty of weight when it came time to sell them to the butcher. Shepherds have always defended their flocks from predators, but they don't do it because they love the sheep. They kill or they drive off predators because they want to provide for their families. A shepherd might get killed by a predator, but it's an accident, and he does not go down without a fight. And he most certainly does not willingly lay down his life for the sheep. We just heard Jesus describe himself as the good shepherd. That is, the noble, heroic shepherd. He said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." Jesus described himself as the shepherd who loves his sheep by willingly surrendering his life for them. And this sets apart the good shepherd from all other shepherds. Now, we can place all of the religions that are outside this door, we can put them in one of two categories. Of all the false religions, all of them teach some version of self-salvation. That is, that you must do something in order to provide all or part of your salvation. There are a wide variety of activities in these religions. There are meditations. There are quests. There is self-punishment. There's fasting, right thinking, right talking, self-improvement, and moral character. It goes on and on, but they all boil down to you saving yourself. Now, the true religion, Christianity, is the only religion where God takes on human flesh and declares that he will surrender his life in order to save his creation. The only one. And further, the regular, plain, vanilla, economy class shepherd, who is merely a competent shepherd, cares for his sheep because of what he can get from them, that is, food and clothing. But the good shepherd, Jesus, does not need anything from his sheep. He defends the sheep with his life simply because he loves them. It is good that the good shepherd Jesus loves his sheep and surrendered his life for them. For we, you and I, the church, are the sheep that he speaks of in his figure of speech. And yes, we have some very powerful enemies. We just heard Jesus speak of a wolf. Now, does it matter how much time that a sheep spends in CrossFitness or at a martial arts dojo? Can a sheep become something like the Karate Kid and do a little wax on, wax off, paint the fence to defend himself? No. That sheep is not going to be able to take on the wolf. And if the sheep has to defend himself or depend on himself, the wolf will have an easy meal. Now, the wolves that come after us, those wolves are called sin, death, and the devil. And sin, death, and the devil, they're allies. Death is the result of our sin, for we hear Paul's letter to the church in Rome, chapter 6, verse 23. Paul wrote, "For the wages of sin is death." That is one of the many sad facts of death. That is to say that it is our sin that opened the door to let death into our world. Every time we make ourselves more important than God, any time our feelings are more important than God's word, any time we exploit our neighbor instead of loving him, any time we refuse to forgive, any time that we listen to gossip, any time we murder with thoughts of hate, any time we want our way instead of God's way, any time we rationalize our sin, these are all ways that we open the door to this world and allow death and the devil to rule. It is as the Apostle Paul again told the church in Rome, therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men, because all have sinned. It's Romans 5:12. Death is one thing that we have in common with everyone. Everyone dies. Our good shepherd Jesus said, he who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he's a hired hand and he cares nothing for the sheep. John 10, verse 12 to 13. With these words, he illustrates the value of false religions. As far as the false religions are concerned, when death comes, you're on your own. If the religion has an afterlife, then it teaches that you are judged by your own merit and worthiness, who you are, what you have done. So if you have failed in this life, well, then often it's a case of too bad, so sad, or for the Hindus, they might say better luck next time. Now, some false religions are so deceptive that they try to teach us that the wolf is our friend. Our current culture wants us to believe that the wolf of death is our friend and presents death like this in options: elective abortion, euthanasia, and, as we see in our neighbors up north, assisted suicide as valid solutions to the problems in life. Now, Kalos Kagathos, Shepherd Jesus, on the other hand, he fought with sin, death, and the devil. And he did it in a most unusual way. First of all, the heroic, good shepherd Jesus became one of the sheep. Jesus became one of us, one of the sheep. That is what Christmas is all about. The Son of God took on human flesh. The Kalos Kagathos shepherd, Jesus, in a manger wrapped in swaddling clothes. Who ever heard of a shepherd becoming one of the sheep in order to save the sheep? And the truth is that the Kalos Kagathos shepherd, Jesus, became one of us in order to battle sin, to battle death, and to battle the devil. And when the time came for the excellent shepherd Jesus to lay down his life, the shepherd Jesus, when it came time for him to battle death, he gave death the home advantage. That is that he suffered and he died on a cross. And as he hung on the cross, our most excellent shepherd Jesus endured the eternal punishment that our sins deserved. And instead of leaving us to face the wolf of death by ourselves. He faced death for us. He faced the death of this world and the eternal death of hell. The Good Shepherd, Jesus, faced all of this so that we can be sheep in his eternal flock. The Good Shepherd Jesus has a special message for us in the gospel that we just heard. He said, I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, and there will be one shepherd. Now, since Jesus told these words to the Jews who were listening to him at the time, these words inform them that Jesus has sheep that are not part of the Jewish flock. That means that we, Gentiles, you and me, are also sheep in his flock. The entire flock of excellent, noble, and heroic shepherd is the Holy Christian Church, that has both Jews and Gentiles in it. And this means that the excellent, the noble, the heroic shepherd, Jesus, laid down his life for all people in all times and in all places. This means that Jesus is the excellent, noble, and heroic shepherd for everyone. That he laid down his life for you. The excellent, the noble, the heroic shepherd Jesus proclaimed that he will lay down his life for the sheep. And in the gospel today, he said this many times. As we work through the gospel, we hear him say even more. He said, I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. And it's with these words that Jesus promised that not only to lay down his life for the sheep, but he also promised to take it up again. It means that we know that he defeated our sin with his death because death could not hold him. He rose from the dead. He said, I lay down my life that I may take it up again. And he kept his promise. Your good shepherd Jesus rose from the dead, and the disciples all saw the holes in his hands and in his feet. The resurrection of your good shepherd Jesus is the promise for your last days on this earth. The day will come. It's coming. The day will come when the wolf of death will eat you and will eat me, but we will not stay dead. Instead, our good shepherd Jesus will come on the last day and bring us all back to life. On that day, the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be burnt up and dissolved. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. Peter further says, then there will be new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. All of us who believe will come together as one flock. We will share in the joy of eternal bliss. We will share in all of the blessings that the Good Shepherd Jesus earned for us when he laid down his life for us. And then we will live forever with him, where there will be one flock, where there will be one shepherd. In the name of Jesus, amen. stand if you're able. Let us now confess together our faith to the words of the Apostles' Creed, found on page 3 of your bulletin. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate. He descended into hell, and on the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people in accordance to their needs. Shepherd of Israel, in your Son, Jesus Christ, you have sought out your sheep and gathered us into your flock. Keep us always in your fold and guard us from every wolf and snare. Lord, in your mercy, Heavenly Father, your Son has called us to love our brothers. Turn us in love toward the neighbors closest to us, especially within our own houses, that we may daily show our confidence in God by deed and truth, laying down our lives as Christ first did for us. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, you alone gather us, your sheep, and send faithful shepherds to us. Call all who have wandered from your flock, and bless the faithful shepherds who gather them through the voice of your word. Lord, in your mercy, eternal Lord, through the Paschal Lamb, you have wrought peace between man and God. By your gift of good government, grant peace and good days also to our citizens and between the nations of the world, that we and all our neighbors may lead quiet lives in godly contentment. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, by the first fruits of Christ's life from the dead, you secured forgiveness for our troubled consciousness. Bless also with temporal health and well-being those who suffer among us. Grant them aid in this moment, and even more so, true immortal health in the world to come. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, our shepherd, you calm all fears in this valley of the shadow of death, and you prepare the holy table of your Son's testament for us in the presence of our enemies. Grant us repentant and faithful hearts. In every tribulation or besetting sin, lead us to find comfort and strength in your overflowing mercy given to us here in this sacrament. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, out of your fatherly goodness, you have remembered us poor, miserable sinners and given your beloved Son to be our shepherd, not only to nourish us by his word, but also to defend us from sin, death, and the devil. Grant us your Holy Spirit, that even as this shepherd knows us and helps in every affliction, that we also may know him, to trust him, to seek help and comfort in him, heartily obey his voice and obtain eternal salvation through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. May the peace of the Lord be with you all. Let us share the peace. Will you please pray with me? Blessed are you, O Lord our God, maker of all things. Through your goodness, we you have blessed us with these gifts. With them, we offer ourselves to your service and dedicate our lives to the care and redemption of all that you have made. For the sake of him who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Yes. That we should at all times and in all places offer thanks and praise to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and ever-living God. But chiefly, we are bound to praise you for the glorious resurrection of our Lord. For he is the true Passover Lamb who gave himself to take away our sin, who by his death has destroyed, by his rising has brought us to eternal life. And so, with Mary Magdalene and Peter and all the witnesses of the resurrection, with earth and sea and all their creatures, with angels and archangels, cherubim and seraphim, we praise your name. Ending hymn. Holy. Night in which our Lord Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and he gave thanks and he broke it, giving it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And again, after supper, Jesus took the cup and he gave thanks and then he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and drink, all of you. This is the new covenant in my blood shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." For we know that as often as we eat of this bread and drink of this cup, that we proclaim Christ's death, his resurrection, and his glorious coming again. Let us now pray together the perfect prayer that Jesus gave to us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated. The Good Shepherd Jesus laid down his life. He had the authority to do that. The good shepherd, Jesus, took up his life. He had authority to do that. In his doing this, he rescued you and I from sin, death, and the devil. And from that, we have the words of Paul, death, where is your sting? He, Jesus, the good shepherd, put an end to death. Death has no more power over you. This is your confession. This is his body and his blood shed for you, broken for you, for the forgiveness of sins. Come, the table is prepared. The usher will bring you forward. And now the benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and grant you his perfect peace. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And remember that our closing hymn is on page 479. My faith looks up to thee.